Enjoyed the music, didn't you? Certainly the Lord is good to us. He's blessed us with some very talented folks for which we are very thankful that they use their talents and abilities in order to honor and glorify the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. We're going to read several verses. This is in the red-lettered edition, and it's harder for me to see the red letters than it is the black letters. And my wife says I bought those glasses, and I don't ever use them. I also bought hearing aids, and I've had them in one day, and I... You think somebody's stubborn or something? Yeah. Or maybe vanity. I don't know what it is, but anyway... verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to you. And he divided unto him his living, or unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to the Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the far country. A number of years ago, newspaper and television programs carried the news of identical triplets who had been separated at birth, but were later reunited at age 23 through a unique set of circumstances. Mutual acquaintances brought them together. They were indeed shocked and yet well pleased to discover that they were triplets. So it is in studying the Bible. As we study the Bible, we discover that there are persons with whom we have identical problems or circumstances. We see how God worked in the lives of other people in order for them to have good to come into their lives, and it makes us realize that what God has done for others, He'll do for us if we respond in faith and commitment. Now, the story of the prodigal son is such a story. In fact, it's one of the best and well-known stories in all of Scripture. And it's one which all of us can identify with. We have read it many times. We've heard it taught and preached on from sermon after sermon. We have come to know the prodigal son quite well. The primary character, however, is not the wayward son that wasted his inheritance, but rather it is the waiting father who yearned for his son's return. I want to focus on the father for just a moment this morning. He granted his son's request when the son came and said, Father, give me my inheritance. It's time for me to go out on my own. I want you to give me my inheritance. So he granted his son's request and he gave him the inheritance, even though He knew that his son was making a big mistake. He sadly watched his son go away, but I see him eagerly anticipating the day, looking for, waiting for the day that his son would return again, and he waited day after day after day. Finally, one day, he looks out on the horizon, and he sees his son coming a great way off, and he's coming in all of his rags and in his shame. And he didn't wait for him to reach the home, but he hurriedly ran out to meet him and to welcome him back home. He did not let his dignity get in the way of giving his son assurance of his welcome back home. He didn't say, "Son, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Have you ever heard that? You know, when you were growing up, mom and dad would tell you something and then you'd violate that and you would stand before them. You knew you were guilty and you couldn't hardly stand the thought of hearing them say, 'I told you so.' You're just hard-headed. You won't listen. I told you." Well, he didn't say that. In fact, he welcomed him home with every possible demonstration of parental love. He tenderly embraced his wayward son and immediately had him clad with the finest robe. He had a ring put on his finger, shoes put on his feet. He ordered festivity. He said, "Kill the fatted calf. This my son that was lost is home. We're going to rejoice and be merry." Beyond all doubts, the spotlight needs to shine on the waiting father. The prodigal son was blessed to have a father like that. But my focus today is not so much on the waiting father. It's not so much on the wayward son. But I want us to focus our attention this morning on that place that's quote unquote called the far country. Far country. What lessons are there here for us this morning as we ponder that far country? Now, I'm convinced that God wants us to look closely at the story to be able to see if we can find ourselves in it somewhere. And you see, this is really what all the Scripture is designed to do. It is to help us find ourselves in light of God's Word that we might be in accordance with what God expects of us as a person. Well, in fact, that's exactly what all of us ought to do when we read the Bible. Perhaps it's hard for us to put ourselves in this story, and maybe there are several reasons for that. Most of us live as closely to our roots as possible. Very few get away from where they were born very far. I remember one fella, if I named his name, some of you would know him here this morning. But he lived the north side of town, kind of around 5th Street. And he didn't go over a mile or so on either side of Garrison Avenue all of his life. And he lived well into his 70s, but he never got away from his roots. Well, likewise, we don't make it a practice to give away our money or to waste it in riotous living. You see, I think most of us have learned pretty well to take care of the money that God has blessed us with, and we're sure not going to go out and spend it on folks reveling with those of low moral standings. And most significantly, I don't know that any of us have ever received an inheritance to waste. You know, if I have ever had an inheritance, it was out there on that ship somewhere that got sunk in the harbor. It never came in to shore. And I'm sure that's where most of us are. So we don't maybe identify in those ways, but don't remove yourself from the story. You see, we see the wayward son and the waiting father, but we have difficulty seeing ourselves. But if we miss seeing ourselves here, then we miss the purpose of the story. You see, the story is there primarily for me and for you. I want to point out four things this morning. First, let's locate where this far country is. Just where is the far country? Now, some have suggested that it was probably Carthage, Alexandria, or Rome, because they were the big cities in that day, and if you were going to go out and have a good time in low places, then that's the place you wanted to go. But the scripture doesn't say, and besides, this is a parable. Now, we know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is designed to teach us a lesson, and the lesson here is that the far country no doubt represents any place where one might go to live such a lifestyle and do such a thing. Now, the lesson is clear. Those who go away from God the Father go into the far country. Now, we're not talking so much about distance this morning as we're talking about disposition. Not talking about miles as much as we're talking about morals. You see, the far country can just be a step away from where you are this morning. You see, Peter followed the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. That's what the Bible said. The night preceding the crucifixion, but really, Peter was only a few steps away as far as distance was concerned. He was close enough to see what was going on, and yet the Bible said he followed afar off. His heart was adversely affected, you see. His heart was following afar off, even though his body was close. God said to the Israelites in Isaiah 29:13, "You draw near me with your mouth and with your lips you honor me, but your heart is far from me." Now let me give you three things that point us to the location of this far country. First, the far country is any place that is even one step away from God. One step out of the fellowship of God is one step too far. Now, Fielding's travel guidebooks are well known, but one is quite unusual. It is a guide to the world's most dangerous places. It includes places like Colombia, Sierra Leone, Algeria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, so forth. Now, the book can tell you where these dangerous places are, and they do that so you can avoid them. And if you do have to go for some reason, that you will then be able to know what to do to stay safe in a troubled world. Now, here's the bottom line. It is not at all safe when the child of God goes away from the fellowship of the Heavenly Father. It's not at all safe. You see, the Bible tells us, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." Now, we understand that he's talking about church, that once we become a child of God, that we need the fellowship of one another. You see, I need you to strengthen me. You need me to strengthen you. We need one another. And we come into the house of God and we worship him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come to worship him and he gives us strength in order that we might go out in the world in which we live, in our own environment, and try to help others that don't know him, that they will come to know him in the free pardon of sin. We need the fellowship of the church. And when a person starts missing church, I can tell you that they'll lose that closeness. When they start missing church and when they start not serving like they used to and they shirk their responsibilities, they're drifting away. And they're getting colder. And they're losing the closeness. And they're not sensitive to the Word of God like they used to be anymore. You see how important it is to realize that one step away from the Father's care is one step into dangerous country. Secondly, the far country is any place that is marked by an attitude of distrust in the Father's will and plan for your life. Let me use Jonah for an example. Jonah, the Bible said, went to the far country when he disobeyed God and he boarded a ship going to Tarshish. God said, "Go east." He went west. He boarded this ship, and the scripture says Jonah went out from the presence of the Lord. Wouldn't it be tragic to run away from God? To run away from the God who pulled you up out of sin and washed you white as snow, and to run away from him. He had an attitude of distrust in the Father's good will and plan for his life. God had a plan for Jonah. He said, go to that wicked city Nineveh and preach a message of impending judgment and doom. If they don't repent, I will send judgment on them. He didn't want to do it. You know, it's tragic that God has a plan for our life, and it's recorded in the Bible. This is our GPS system. You see, this is our plumb line that tells us what's right and what's wrong, how to live, but it also not only tells us where we are, but where we need to go, and it gives us a road map in order to get there. God help us. Thirdly, the far country is any place that is located in an attitude of self-interest that defines one purpose for living in terms of getting and having. Now, the elder brother in the story, well, he didn't change his address, but in reality, he was living in the far country just as well as the younger brother. In a real sense, he was just as far away. He too was a prodigal because he was wasteful. You see, in reality, the far country is located in a person's heart who does not trust the Father. I'm going to tell you, you can take things for granted at church. You can think, well, I'm always going to be a Christian. I'm always going to serve the Lord, and I'm always going to live right. But if you don't maintain your responsibilities as a Christian, if you don't study your Bible, and if you don't pray, and if you don't obey to do what God tells you to do, brethren, you'll slip away and you'll drift. You can't just hold your own. You know, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. God intends for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to put something into it. And if we continue to do that, God will bless us. Well, secondly, living in the far country. Let me ask you a very personal question this morning, and that is, are you living in the far country this morning? You are if you have an attitude, the attitude of the younger son who said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, he had a give me problem. Now, I want you to ponder these questions that I'm going to ask this morning. Are you saying in your heart, give me pleasure so I can enjoy the things of this world? You know, a lot of times folks think, well, I just want to have a good time. I want to be able to sow some oats, you know. I want to enjoy doing what I want to do. It's my life. I can do what I want to with it. Are you saying in your heart, give me freedom so I can do as I please? Are you saying, oh, maybe not verbally, but in your heart, give me position so that I can know power and prestige? Are you saying, give me popularity so I can know acceptance and recognition? Or are you saying in your heart, give me heaven, even though you have little time or concern for spiritual matters? Isn't that tragic? You know, you talk to folks, and I've knocked on doors, and I've talked to folks about, are you a Christian? Everybody's a Christian. I mean, you in America, you go out and you ask folks, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Do you go to church? Yes. They may go once a year or once every 5 years. But I'm going to tell you, God's plumb line will determine who's right and who's wrong. But if you answered yes to any of these questions, you may well be living in the far country and away from the fellowship of Almighty God. Well, learning from the far country. What do we learn about the self-centered life of the prodigal son in the far country? There are four things We learn that living the self-centered life does not lift us to our highest level. You see, the prodigal son, where was he when he came to himself? The Bible said he was in the pig pen. Now, he was not only in the pig pen, and for a Jew, this was a horrible, horrible place to be. And here was a young man that was almost ready because he was hungry, that he was ready to eat the slop. Now, I don't know if you've ever slopped hogs, but when I was young growing up, I knew what it was to slop the hogs. And I'm going to tell you, what I took out in that pail was foul, you know. It was ugly. And I can't imagine any self-respecting person eating what the hogs ate. But I guess he got so bad off, he was ready to do just that. But that's what sin will do. Sin will take you further than you ever intended to go, make you pay a greater price than you ever intended to pay. Verse 18 said, but when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to the Father. You learn right quick that living in the far country is low, low, low living. And then we learn that living the self-centered life does not honor God or fulfill his purpose. It is only when we're at home with him that we honor him and we fulfill his purpose. What is the saying? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How important it is that we realize we're just passing through. You know, I'm 75 years of age. It seems like only yesterday that Barbara and I were dating. But where'd the years go? I talked to Mother. She was 96 before she died, and she said, son, I'm 96, and I don't know. It's passed so quick where all the years went. How important it is that we realize that we only have one life and it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We learned that living the self-centered life does not benefit others. You see, this man was of no value to anybody. While he was away from the Father, he wasted his life in riotous living. And anytime you're away from God, you waste your life in riotous living. Kind of reminds me of the rich barn builder. You remember the story where he had one of those bumper crops. Now, he was already rich. He already had everything he needed, but he had one of those bumper crops where it was going to be so much more than he could ever imagine, so he was going to have to tear down his meager barns, build him bigger barns to house all of his goods. And he said to himself, so you've got it made for years and years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, that was his attitude. He could have helped others, but he was not concerned about others. It was only about his own well-being. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be that thou hast provided? And then we learned that living the self-centered life leads to spiritual famine in the soul. You see, the prodigal son left home with a lot of money, but his self-centeredness reduced him to poverty and ruin. God says in the Old Testament, God gave them their desire, but sent leanness into their soul. Sometimes we think it's all about us, but it's all about him. And then finally, leaving the far country. Though the wayward son was foolish in what he did, he was wise enough not to remain so. He did five things. And if you're here this morning in the far country, this is what you need to consider as well. Number one, he came to his senses. The scripture says, when he came to himself, in other words, he was out of his mind. I mean, and that's what the devil does. He messes with our mind. He makes us think this is what we really need and what we really want. And he gets us to do foolish things. Then he recognized his mistakes. The hired servant went back to the father's house and he said, the hard servant's back at the father's house have it better than I do. In other words, he said, I should have never left home. You can ask the backslider. I've asked a few of them. When were the happiest days of your life? It's when I was close to the Lord. When I was close to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the happiest days of your life is when you're living in the center of the will of Almighty God. And then he recognized his mistakes, and then he accepted responsibility for his actions. He said, I'm guilty. He didn't blame his dad. He didn't blame his mother. He didn't blame his mate. I mean, he said, I'm guilty. You know, and a person will never get straightened out until they come to their senses and realize, I'm the one that's sinned. I'm the one that's guilty before God. And then he resolved to return to the Father. He said, I will arise and go to my Father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And Lord, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. And he adjusted his attitude about life. He left home saying to the Father, give me my portion of the inheritance. But when he returned home, he said, Lord, make me as one of your hard servants. What an attitude adjustment. I'm here to tell you that if you don't reach the point in your life that you say, Lord, I just want to be a servant in your kingdom and in your family. I just want to be a menial servant in your family. If you'll just let me come back, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. You know, when we come with that kind of attitude, it's amazing. It's amazing that God will hear us, and he'll forgive us and cleanse us. Let me use this illustration in closing. Haddon Robinson tells a story about a man by the name of George Wilson, who in 1830 was sentenced by a Philadelphia court to be hanged by the neck until he was dead. The president of the United States at the time was Andrew Jackson, and he extended to Wilson a full pardon, but he refused to accept it. The case went to the Supreme Court, where Chief Justice Marshall ruled that a pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on the acceptance of the person implicated. If it is refused, there is no pardon. What a tragedy. Even though the wayward son was content to be just a hard servant, it is clear in verses 22 through 24 that the Father issued him a full pardon, and he gladly accepted it. God, the Heavenly Father, is waiting for us, his sons and daughters, to come to their senses and to return from the far country. If they're willing, then he will offer full pardon to all of those who return. Isn't that a gracious, loving, heavenly Father? I'm glad that I have a Father like that, aren't you? I'm glad. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to you in prayer just now, we want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and your care. Thank you for our time together to worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have been made to feel in the music and in the service. And Lord, we thank you that you're present. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that we can feel. And Lord, if there are those here this morning without you, help them. Help them, dear Lord, that they will come to you on bended knees and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to be just a hard servant in your kingdom. Lord, I want to live for you. I want joy and peace in my life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help that one that's drawn close or drawn away from you, dear Lord, and they're no longer as close as they used to be, and they need to renew their vows. Lord, help them to come and do that today. That one that's lost, that they'll be saved today. But, Lord, I pray that you'll bless in a very special way. And bless those that are Christian that want to be a part of our church family. Help them to do that as well today, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us, if you will.